one of you here tonight. Let's stand together, please. Turn to page 198. Page 198, we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of He Abides Tonight. Verses 1, 3, and 4, page 198. Sing it out with me on the first verse.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me.
Thankful He's with us tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Kind of seems like we heard something about that in Sunday school. Amen. And I'm sure glad we can abide in Him and He in us. And well, praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Sure glad you're here. Glad to have those tuning in on live stream. But let's pray tonight and ask God to bless the service. Brother C.J. Reeves, would you open us in prayer tonight, brother?
Amen. You may be seated tonight. I do just have some announcements I wanted to mention, and also wanted to mention this, that if you didn't get a bulletin this past Sunday, there are still some of those available back there on the back table, and so make sure that you do get one of those. There are also some Bible reading calendars for this year. If you would like some of them, we still have plenty of those available as well. And it's not too late to jump in there and get caught up and continue reading through the Bible this year. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of those things. This month in January, again, there's just not a whole lot going on. Of course, the Church Planters Conference there at Heartland Baptist Bible College was supposed to be next week, but they have canceled that. Thank the Lord we were able to start back school this week, And so we just have a couple of things coming up in January as of right yet. And that'll be the church-wide outreach, and that's on Saturday, January the 16th. And so we'll meet over in the fellowship hall at 10:30 in the morning and head out and do some door knocking, some canvassing, some visiting, those kind of things. And then Monday, January the 18th, for those that have kids in Faith Baptist School, there'll be no school as it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day there. And so that's a holiday. And so the kids will be out of school. Did want to mention this, though. That in February, the very first Friday and Saturday in February, February the 5th and 6th, is the Midwest Couples Retreat, and that's over here at the big Doubletree Hotel here in Overland Park. It's hosted by Riverside Baptist Church there in St. Joseph, Missouri, as well as Temple Baptist Church in El Dorado, Kansas. So that's Pastor Bill Marshall and then Pastor Ron Jones. And so we have gone to that the last couple of years and enjoyed it. And so we are going to be attending that this year. And so if any of our married couples would like to go to that, you can. We are supposed to be getting the sign-up sheet and all the information for that here very soon. But just wanted to mention that to our married couples. If you'd like to go to that, make sure you mark your calendar down. Again, that's February the 5th and 6th, and it is $170 per couple. But do want to encourage our families to be a part of that, our married couples, and just a good time in the Lord, a good time to get away, and no kids allowed. Amen. Amen. All right, I figured I'd have a lot more amens by parents, but you're probably too tired, so that's all right. Also in the bulletin, and the reason that I wanted you to have the bulletin is because in there in the very first page when you open it up in the bottom corner has a little, it's a little paragraph entitled Emergency Text Messaging. And for those that don't know, what that is basically where we send out, if we have something like really bad weather, storm, ice or snow or something like that, and we're not able to host the services here at the church, we'll be able to send out a text message to all of our church members. And so under that little heading there, you'll read some information. But basically, if you've changed your mobile number or your cell phone provider, then you need to update your directory and emergency text information online form. And then also, if you're a new member and you're not on that, you can do that as well. And even regular visitors can sign up for that as well. But anyways, it's all on our website at faithbaptistolathe.org, and then just do the / and directory, and you can go there and register or get your information in there. And then that way, what will happen is if we have a blizzard or a storm or something like that, an ice storm or something, we need to cancel services, we can just send that out and you'll get a text on there on your phone, and it makes it a lot more efficient and things like that. All right, so those are the announcements tonight, and so let's get our prayer list out and let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight over some matters. I did want to mention this, if we could pray for the Elda Fott family. Of course, that's Miss Elda Fott that went home to be with the Lord this past week. And so they did meet with the funeral home on Monday. And so we do have a funeral scheduled for Friday. This coming Friday, it'll be here at the church, at Faith Baptist Church. There'll be a visitation from noon until 1 p.m. And then the service will begin at 1 p.m. with a graveside to follow. We are going to live stream the services for those that maybe cannot make it or do feel uncomfortable being around a crowd right now with the pandemic, and so that will be available as well. But again, that's visitation at noon, and then the service at 1 o'clock with a graveside to follow. But do be much in prayer for the family on that situation, and just pray for God's comfort and grace. Do have some other families, of course, grieving as well. Another family that we added, that I added on there, is the Yates family. Miss Beta Yates went home to be with the Lord, and some of you know Brother John Mark Yates. He brought Brother Carl Boonstra to us about a year or so ago, and that's John Mark's grandma. And so she's just a dear, precious lady there in Berean Baptist Church, and made the world's best cinnamon rolls ever, just hands down, son. I mean, when you thought about cinnamon rolls, you thought about Beta Yates, and when you thought about Beta Yates, you thought about cinnamon rolls. If you can't tell, I hadn't had any sugar this week, and I really want a cinnamon roll right now, but Anyways, just a dear precious lady. She's enjoying the Lord right now. Amen. And so be much in prayer, though, for that family. Is there any other prayer requests or updates or anything tonight as we go to the Lord in prayer? Brother Steve Parker. Okay. Mercy. Okay. All right. All right. So let's continue to pray for Dennis St. John that had that brain aneurysm and is recovering from that. Do continue to pray, too, for Miss Mary Parker as well. She's kind of still battling that pneumonia and stuff with her immune system. And so just remember her in prayer as well. All right. I saw another hand up. Yes, sir, Brother Griffin. So that's Nancy Hahn. All right, so let's pray for the Nancy Hahn family for bereavement. And then also let's remember Lori Wolf. Is that correct, Lori? Huh? Doyle? Lori Doyle. Okay, that was the one that was on for COVID. Okay. Huh? Okay. So you better bail yourself out, brother. Amen. All right, Lori Doyle, that's having heart tests on Friday. So, all right, let's remember those in prayer. All right, Miss Marie Christian. All right. Absolutely. Unreal. All right. So that's Miss Candy Birchfield that we have on our prayer list that's been battling lymphoma. And she actually got some really good reports, and then all of a sudden they decided to go ahead and do some radiation. I believe it was it radiation that they did. And so just remember that in prayer and just pray for the job situation. People don't have any compassion anymore. And so that's just a real that's just a bummer. And so we'll sure be praying for her. So tell her we'll sure be praying for her, okay? All right? Anybody else tonight? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kristen. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's his last name? Perez. Okay, Henry Perez. And he has COVID. All right. All right, Laura. Mercy. What is their names? Ryan and Amy Roust. Okay. R-O-W-E, Rao. Okay, I got it. Ryan and Amy Rao. And Mercy. And we'll sure remember them in prayer. Absolutely. Anybody else tonight? Brother Gary Waters? Yes. Mercy. Okay. That's incredible. Technology and stuff. All right, so let's continue to pray for this young man, Trevor Jones. He's on our prayer list. He's on the second column there in the health, about halfway down. And just a real tragic accident. Young guy in his early 20s, I think, or early to mid-20s. And just a freak accident. Dove into the water too shallow, broke his neck or snapped his spine. And so just remember that situation in prayer. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or an update or anything like that? Ms. Beth? Okay. Good deal. Praise the Lord. Anybody else tonight? Won't we have our men come tonight? I think one of the things that really we need to also pray for tonight is our country. It's just a mess. And I got to be honest with you, I don't think it's just tonight. It's been a mess. I'm just telling you tonight, I'm thankful tonight that my citizenship is in heaven. That doesn't mean I don't love this country, because I do. I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for the liberties that we have to preach the gospel. But I am thankful tonight that I'm a citizen of heaven. And I'm thankful tonight that I know the God that brings nations up and put nations down and puts kings up and brings kings down. And this country, what we need is to turn back to God and get right with God. We are a mess, but Christ is still the answer. And so as we go to the Lord in prayer tonight, I just wanted to just ask if we would specifically pray for our country tonight. It's a mess, and we don't need any more division in here, because we're about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're about the things of the Word of God, and that's what matters to us. And so let's pray tonight, ask God's help on these things. We've got a lot of burdens and things, but as we do pray, let's pray for our country tonight. I want to ask you, Brother Alan Quinlan, if you'd stand and pray for us tonight, brother.
most recent prayer letter from the Douglas family to Brazil. He says, praise the Lord that our King was still on the throne throughout the pandemic of 2020. Let us be of good cheer, for Jesus has overcome the world, and let us continue to worship our Lord of hosts and King of glory this year with a cheerful heart and not to give place to the devil. Praise the Lord that in November we finally bought a car that was in another city and a friend helped us to get it. We thank the Lord for your prayers and willingness to give for the cost of this car. The same friend who helped us has been learning sign language. He and his brother and some other people in the church have also been learning for about a year and a half. The day after picking up the car, we went to their church on Wednesday evening before we returned to our home city. Our friend and his brother did a great job interpreting for us for the very first time. We're proud of them. During our church anniversary service in November, a married couple who have been faithful coming to church since the church opened last September told us that they want to focus on Christ. They want to do the right thing, and more importantly, they want to be forgiving. They know that God will not bless them if they don't forgive, but if they keep forgiving, He will pour blessings upon them. For 2020, we had 12 Bible verses to memorize, one verse for each month. Praise the Lord, we had about 20 people willing to participate to memorize Bible verses. One woman memorized 9 verses, and another woman memorized 11 out of the 12 we had. Both of these women are over 50 years old. We're immensely proud and thankful for their effort. We will continue with Bible memory into 2021. We only had 4 men participate in Bible memory last year, so we hope for more men to join this year. We had 3 young siblings as well who memorized a few verses. We hope to have more children also memorize more verses with us this year. We had a small group come for a special Christmas service on December 20th. There were 2 special songs, one of which our daughters participated along with 4 other women for the special music. It was our daughter's first time trying to sing, but despite some distractions, it was a blessing to see them participate. A week after the special Christmas service, my daughter asked me if we could do a special song with the ladies again. We're excited to see how the Lord may use our daughters for His glory. Also, during the Christmas service, a young man who came to church 2 or 3 times recently came to me and offered to help with PowerPoint slides. He offered to help so that I can have free hands to preach and sing without pausing to change slides. We praise the Lord for a willing servant. Please pray for Alexander that he would be saved and be a new disciple. Our focus for this year was solely on Christ. For this new year, we will focus on Christ and me as our theme, showing the relationship between Christ and individual believers and what Christ desires for us. Please pray with us that people will have a heart to follow Christ this year and make it a lifetime decision. We have set some goals for the new year to teach people to memorize more verses, to learn the books of the Bible, and to have Bible study class and discipling for the men and the women. Please pray for the deaf to have a desire to be disciples of Christ. In Christ, Michael, Ruth, Giovanna, and Rania Douglas. So certainly thankful for that update and all that the Lord is doing there for the deaf and the hard of hearing in Brazil. Brother Clark, would you pray for the Douglas family as well as our other missionaries around the world?
Amen. I'll tell you what, let's all stand together one last time tonight. Turn to page 446. I'm so thankful that even in this world of all that's going on, we can lean on the Lord. Amen. That's, we need to have our focus on Him. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Sing it out on that first verse, page 446. What a fellowship. What a joy divine.
Secure.
standing tonight.
Well, good singing tonight. It's good to be in God's house. Amen. Sure glad you're here tonight on this cold and rainy night. Thankful we didn't have any ice or snow. I'm thankful you showed up because I was a little worried, to be honest with you. You people in Kansas, you should be used to this by now, but you just never know. Amen. But glad you're here tonight and looking forward to what God has for us. And just it is an oasis in the desert. Amen. And so the book of Acts tonight and chapter number 13, the book of Acts and chapter number 13, we're going to continue on with our study in the book of Acts and really getting into some good stuff. And the reason I say that is because we're really kind of getting into the part now where we begin to delve into the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And, of course, this is the very early stages. Right now, it's Barnabas and Saul. But it's about to become Paul, and then it's about to become Paul and Barnabas. And so, just some exciting things here. And so, the book of Acts tonight in chapter number 13, and we're going to pick up in verse number 4. And the Bible says this, "So they," meaning Barnabas and Saul, "so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the Word of God." Let me say that again. They preached the Word of God. That's what they did. They didn't go in and go, "Here's this, let me show you this video." They didn't go in and say, "We're going to rock it out." Nope, they preached the Word of God. They preached the Word of God. And so notice, they preached the Word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the Word of God. Now, that's good right there. Amen. That's good, but the previous verse was not very good. So what happens? It says in verse 8, But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation. So this is the same guy from verse 6 there. It says, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, oh, here we go, filled with the Holy Ghost, all right, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. That means this, he gave him the preacher look. Amen. The HRF, hostile resting face. Amen. See that? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Set his eyes on him in verse 10 and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Son, I'm telling you, that's an apostle right there. Amen. That'd be just be awesome to walk around and make people blind. Amen. That'd just be awesome. Verse number 12. Now, you know I'm just kidding you. I wouldn't. Well, I probably would. But verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, when Paul and his company, loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem. Now, here's what I titled the message tonight. Welcome to the mission field. And the reason that I say this is because Paul and Barnabas, of course, are now being sent out of the church at Antioch with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what they're going to discover is this, is that the same battles and the same ups and downs that were in the ministry at the church in Antioch, you know what? They're everywhere. And that includes the mission field in Cyprus. And so here's the application to us tonight. Again, if you'll notice, Paul and Barnabas didn't do anything different from what they were doing in Antioch. They were preaching the gospel. They were about seeing souls saved. And that's so when they went on to a foreign mission field and got into the ministry right here, it is no different than, listen, it's no different. They did the exact same thing. And by the way, that's exactly what you and I are to do right here in our mission field in Olathe, Kansas. That's what we are to be doing. We're still lost people still need the gospel. And so we're still to be about the business of preaching it. And so that's really, so I think we could say this tonight, as we would say, welcome to the mission field. What can I say to you tonight? Welcome to the mission field. What I mean to you by that tonight is this. Our mission field isn't Brazil. That's where the Douglases are at that we read about tonight. Our mission field is Olathe, Kansas. And so just as they are in the ministry and involved in the ministry, that's what we need to be about tonight. And just being faithful. So we're going to see some things tonight. I believe it will help us and encourage us. Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for the sweet spirit among your people. Sure love these folks and glad they're here. Just want to ask God you'd speak to us tonight. Help us. And Lord, we do realize, Lord, the country in which we live in, it needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And boy, over the last few months, that could not be made more clear. So God, would you speak to us tonight? Encourage us. Just help us tonight. Just thankful tonight for faithful men like the Apostle Paul that just withstood false doctrine and just stayed true to the Word of God. And just want to pray tonight you'd help us and encourage us from his testimony. And Lord, may we just the Scripture be exposed tonight. You use it to do a work wherever the need is in the hearts of men. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Now, the last time that we were in the book of Acts, we saw what I call the call to missions in the very first three verses. And we didn't read that tonight, but I did just want to cover it because it does kind of go along with really where you and I pick up tonight in verse 4. But of course, we know that this is where the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them," there in verse number 2. And if you remember, these were, meaning Barnabas and Saul, these were the key men in the church. As believers from the church at Jerusalem were scattered from the persecution, they came to Antioch, but they did not come empty-handed, meaning this, they brought with them the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they begin to live among the people there, and they begin to witness to them, and they begin to talk with them about the gospel and about the Messiah, who is Christ, and showing them from the Scriptures that He is the Savior, and to believe upon Him. And so people were saved there in Antioch from all walks of life, Jews and Greeks and Gentiles. And so because of that, the apostles in the church at Jerusalem, they would send Barnabas. Remember, the Scriptures call him the son of consolation. I like that. He's the encourager. He's the helper, if you will. And so he would be sent to organize and begin to pastor this work. I mean, listen, that's key when you've got people from all walks of life. You've got Jews and you've got Greeks and you've got Gentiles. You've got white people and black people and Northerners and Southerners that love sweet tea and boiled peanuts. And so they need help. Amen. People, I'm just telling you. And so Barnabas would come in and bring them all together. And you know why we can be all together? Because it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves our souls. And so Barnabas would bring them together. But you understand, he had all of this going on. And so he knew he needed some help. So he remembers this guy named Saul of Tarsus that when he came in and sought to join himself to the disciples because he got saved. You know, the disciples there in Jerusalem, and they said, "No way, man, this guy's been persecuting the church." Well, guess who it was? It was old Barnabas, the son of consolation, that went over and put his arm around Saul and said, "Come on, brother Saul, and let me bring you in here to these fellows," and brought him in and said, "Hey, listen, guys, he's all right. He's one of us now."
And so what a blessing there. And so now you go look at verse number one there. It says, now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manahen and which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So now you've got all these men of different types of background serving the Lord. And the Spirit of God would dip down among them and would call Barnabas and Saul to the work whereunto He has called them, meaning the mission field, and going out and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and seeing people saved and churches started. You know, it's a good reminder, though, that God doesn't call the lazy. I mean, if you'll notice, I mean, listen, it says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, do you notice that? I mean, listen, you understand that they were not sitting around. They were seeking Him and they were serving Him. And that's why God would dip down among these men and call Barnabas and Saul. Listen, if you want to know what God's plan is for your life, then quit sitting around doing nothing and dabbling in the world and then blaming God because He doesn't speak to you. Listen, that's not how this works, my friend. That's not how this works. You get busy serving God in the church that He's called you to. Get busy seeking Him. Well, what does that mean, preacher? That means praying and fasting and getting in the Word of God and growing in your faith. And my friend, when you do that, you mark it down, God will show up. It's kind of like this verse that we're going to look at maybe Sunday night that says, draw nigh to God. Y'all see that up there? It's new. Just thought I'd show that off. But you know, the other side of that is this, and He will draw nigh unto you. Is anybody getting this? You understand? It amazes me that people go, well, I just don't, God's not speaking. Well, listen, seek Him. And He'll speak to you. And He's still God, and He's still on the throne. And He still works, friend. I'm just telling you tonight. But notice what happens in verse number 4. It says, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. And so, you have here in verse 2, you have the Holy Ghost saying, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And notice in verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, who's that talking about? That's talking about the church at Antioch. And then it says in verse 4, so they, meaning Barnabas and Saul, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, then they would depart into Seleucia, and then from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And so, beginning in verse number 4, listen to this. Barnabas and Saul are sent forth out of the church at Antioch and sent by the Holy Ghost. Is everybody getting that? They're sent out of the church at Antioch and they're sent by the Holy Ghost. And as I was diving into this tonight and just thinking about this and just picturing in my mind this church sending them out and all of the things. And of course, we're on the other side of this now and we know the end of the story and the souls that would be saved and the church has started all of these things out of this church. But I want you to think about this. And I was reminded of this phrase that's really, this saying that's really a truth, but that's this: missions is the heartbeat of the church. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not. I know I've heard it on several occasions, but that's true. It's a true statement. But let me explain to you why that's a true statement and why that would even come to my mind as I was looking at this and just chewing on our text tonight. Certainly one of the reasons is this, and I want you to think about this, and I mentioned this in the last message, but here's one of the reasons why. Because the blessings of God are now going to shift from the church at Jerusalem to this church at Antioch. You understand that the plan of God all along has been that His gospel would be preached to every creature, Jew and Gentile. I mean, this is what Christ had in His mind when he commanded the apostles to wait at Jerusalem, wait in Acts chapter 1, wait on the Comforter, wait on the Holy Spirit of God. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He would say this, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But then he would say this, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I'm just telling you why. And you look back and you look at what we've already covered. And while at Jerusalem, while the church at Jerusalem, and specifically the Apostle Peter, he would be used to reach the very first Gentile, Cornelius, and we saw all of that. But we also know this, the church at Jerusalem, they were hesitant to receive it. If you go back to, and you don't have to for time's sake tonight, but you can go back to chapter 11 and the first part of the chapter is about the church at Jerusalem basically interrogating Peter because he went into the home of a Gentile and gave them the gospel of Jesus Christ. But thankfully, Peter let it be known that they got saved the same way we got saved, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But you think about this, the church at Antioch, that's not what they did. Instead, if I could say it like this, they caught the vision God had according to His Word. Well, they understood that the gospel, it wasn't meant for just one people group. It was meant for every nation and every kindred and every tongue. And that God wants everyone to hear the gospel and to have an opportunity to repent and put their faith and trust in Christ alone. They caught the vision, my friend. And because of that, they are now going to be at the forefront of the book of Acts. And the blessings of God are going to be upon them. I'm telling you, they are going to bear much fruit in the Lord. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, having missionaries like Paul and Barnabas. Later on, it's going to be Barnabas and John Mark and Paul and Silas going out and planting churches and seeing people saved and the fruit added to their account. Son, I'm just telling you, I bring this up tonight to say this. It's a tremendous reminder to us that if we want God's hand on Faith Baptist Church, and I would think that we do tonight, then we don't need gimmicks. We don't need a hot dog to get them here and a hamburger to keep them. We don't need entertainment. No, my friend, we need to follow their example and be a part of missions, praying, giving, sending. That's what we're supposed to do. Listen, that's what brings life to a church. And that's what they were doing. But at the same time, listen to this. This reminds us of our responsibility as a New Testament church. See, when we say things like missions is the heartbeat of the church, God's people immediately begin to associate with it things like faith promise and giving to help plant churches, whether that be here in America or on foreign fields. And while, yes, that's part of it, that's not all of it. Let me say that again. While that's part of it, that's not all of it. You know why? Because, listen, what we expect missionaries to do on the mission field, meaning winning souls and making disciples of Jesus Christ, please listen to this, that's still what we're supposed to be doing right here. Listen, anything, you and I both know this, come on, this is a no-brainer tonight, that anything without a heartbeat is either dying or already dead. And what I'm saying to you is that when a church stops doing what they're supposed to be locally, they begin to die. Why do you think churches are closing their doors left and right today? I'm just telling you, I think the COVID-19 pandemic just speeded along the process. Hello? I'm just telling you, that's what happens. I underline this in my notes, and you can take it for what you will, but I want you to listen to this. One of the greatest dangers within Baptist churches in America today is that God's people view missions as something as minimal as writing a check. Got to be honest with you. Given to Faith Promise Missions, that's the fun part, and that's the easy part. And truth be told, that's the least important part.
Because money doesn't win souls, prayer does. And there is still prayer. And there is still doing our part to win the lost where we are at. I really like the old illustration of the deep sea diver. Now, in our day and time, you just strap a couple of tanks on your back and you dive down into the water, and that's how you breathe. But in the old days, before all that fancy scuba gear that we know today, if a man wanted a deep sea dive, he had to attach an air hose to his suit. And then there was someone on the surface who had the responsibility of pumping air to him so he could breathe and live. And in the same regard, folks, this is our responsibility to missions. Yes, we are to pray for them. We are to support them financially. But we are also to be about doing the very same thing they are doing where God has called them. Because if we don't, then eventually there'll be nobody to pump the air to them. You think about it, even in our text, Paul and Barnabas didn't sit down and say things like, well, we need to come up with something different because we're traveling to all these other places. And, you know, what we did in Antioch, it may not work in Cyprus. And it may not work over here. And it may not work over here. No, that's not what they did at all. They preached the gospel of Jesus Christ just like they were doing in Antioch. But listen to this. But at the same time, the word didn't stop in Antioch because Paul and Barnabas had left. No, that's not at all what happened. Simon and Lucius and Manahan, they continued to work and serve the Lord. Well, we know that because eventually Paul and Barnabas are going to finish their first missionary journey. And they're going to come back at the end of Acts chapter 14 and they're going to report of all of what God did. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 14 in verse number 26. It says, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. They got to eat at all their favorite restaurants. I mean, they had a wonderful DVD presentation report. They all shouted glory hallelujah as they saw the names of these people they had been talking about, saw their faces and go with their names. And man, they were glory hallelujah. These are people that got saved. These are churches that got started. Is anybody getting this? No. And I'm just telling you, the reason that there were still people there and there were those that says they gathered the church together. Listen, that means this, that they were still serving the Lord. They were still doing the work of God. They were still winning souls. They were still making disciples even when Barnabas and Saul left. Why is that? Because they knew that what they were supposed to be doing is what Barnabas and Saul were going to be doing. And what they needed to be doing right there. Am I getting this tonight? Listen, I know this is a no-brainer, but the truth of the matter is we need to be reminded of these things. And I sure don't want to bore you on a Wednesday night service, but I'm just telling you, we need these things. We need to be challenged on these things. We need to be reminded of these things because the last thing that I want to see in my day and time is to see the doors of Faith Baptist Church shut because we've quit winning people to Jesus Christ. We're still called to do these things. It's still our responsibility. See, now that we all understand all of that, though, here's the thing. When you get to Acts chapter 13 and we see Barnabas and Saul heading out into the mission field, it shouldn't be that we view it as something that, hey, they're supposed to be doing that, but we don't have to do that. No, really, what they're doing is what we're supposed to be doing. Is anybody getting this? And then we're to get involved. Whoa, wait a minute now. Yeah. That's what we're called to do. To serve. What do I need to do? Well, there's all kinds of stuff to do. There's like a bus ministry. Needs a lot more kids on there. I want them hanging out the window when they're driving in. You know what I'm saying? Bring them in here. Why? So we can give them the gospel, love on them. See mom and dad get saved. There's Sunday school. Junior church. That's exciting, isn't it, Reese family? Never a dull moment down there in the jungle there on basement. Church-wide outreach on Saturdays. Well, preacher, that's my only day off. Well, fine. Serve the Lord on it. It's only for like 2 hours. You'll be all right. College football ain't even started yet. VBS. Oh, man, that's exciting. But to watch them kids get saved, man. Camp. Son, we'll find out the real you at camp. Yeah, man. But praise God, I bring coffee, so we're all right. We'll survive. So here's what I'm saying, get involved. But catch this, but please note that when you do, you may find some things that Paul and Barnabas experienced here you're going to experience. I'll tell you something tonight, ministry isn't for the faint of heart. I can remember when I first started pastoring in Cassville and ran into some of my first confrontation and difficulties, stuff that just scared me to death and kept me up all night. Now I don't even blink an eye at. And so I can remember calling my pastor and seeking his advice and counsel and maybe hoping he'd feel a little sorry for me and encourage me. And his response was a lot like the title of the message tonight, Welcome to the Ministry. That's when I stopped calling my pastor when I was discouraged and I just started praying. Because I didn't need somebody to tell me to suck it up. I could do that myself, amen. So I'd just give myself a little pep talk. You need to suck it up, man. And then I'd go pray and talk to the Lord. It saved me a lot of trouble. And it saves him a lot of trouble. And then it saves me from getting mad at him. Just being real. But at the same time, listen. Let me. When you get involved, please listen to this. The whole idea of this is to get us to understand. We're supposed to be serving the Lord here where we're at. And we're to be involved. But when you do, all right, you need to know this. And I'm just telling you, I want to be real with you tonight. You need to understand this. There will be spiritual warfare. I want you to notice verses 4 and 5 there. It says this. It says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. So beginning in these verses, Paul and Barnabas, they sail to the island of Cyprus. And then they go to Salamis, which is a city on the east side of the island. Now, if you go back to Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, you don't have to tonight, but in your personal time, you will find that that's where we're first introduced to Barnabas. And you will also find this, that Cyprus is where Barnabas is from. So maybe, you know, some speculate, I kind of do, that maybe Salamis was his hometown, but I also know that Paul was about going into the major cities where there was much people to begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also tells us at the end of verse 5 that John Mark, whom they brought with them to Antioch from Jerusalem at the end of Acts chapter 12, he was there with them ministering on their first missionary journey. According to Colossians 4:10, John Mark was the nephew of Barnabas. Keep it in the family, amen. And when they came to Salamis, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, some might ask why. Well, here's why. Because they had the Word of God. All right? Because, well, we know Christ came into His own, though they did not receive Him. But considering that these people had the Word of God, and watch this, they believed that there is a God. So you understand, it just seems that it would make sense to begin here. And that you can take the Old Testament Scriptures and you can show them that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah that was promised to come. And so that's what they begin to do. By the way, that's exactly what we're to do. Again, we're to preach the Word of God. We're to show that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the only way to be saved. And by the way, you can still use the Old Testament Scriptures to do that. It's what they had.
I'm tired of hearing people in today's time going, well, the Old Testament script, they're no good. No, they are very good. They were written for our examples, the Bible says, to give us examples of what God requires of us. But at the same time, do you not understand that Christ fulfilled a tremendous amount of prophecy in the Old Testament? And so therefore, we can go back to that and show them that Jesus is the Christ. But notice what happens in verse 6. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. I mean, now listen, they ran into this guy. Because you always run into crazy people when you're in ministry. Amen. I don't know whether to say I ran into you or you're thinking we ran into you, preacher. Verse 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name, by interpretation it says, withstood them, seeking, now isn't this amazing? Seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. That doesn't get much clearer than that, does it? So they make their way through the island with the gospel. They run into this false prophet. But it's amazing they receive this open invitation to give the gospel to this deputy of the island, a man by the name of Sergius Paulus. But this false prophet would stand in their way, seeking to keep this man from coming to know Christ as his Savior. Folks, if that's not of the devil, I don't know what is. But I love how Paul deals with this guy. Because in verse number 9 it says, then Saul, who is also called Paul, and notice this, filled with the Holy Ghost. I think that that's probably the key right there. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Because here's the thing, and we know what's going to happen. Paul's going to basically curse this guy, and he's going to become physically blind just like he is spiritually blind. But you understand tonight that I'm just telling you, he didn't handle it in the flesh. He handled it being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But what I'm trying to get across to you tonight is this, is that ministry is not as easy as you think it is. The devil is working very, very hard to keep men blind in their sins. And by the way, not just here, I'm talking about today. I'm talking about right now. And he has his false prophets and his evil workers who will do anything they can to oppose the work of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You understand, this is spiritual warfare. This is why Paul would say things like this to the church at Corinth. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. See, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This is why he would say to the church at Ephesus, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hey, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, folks, we're still in a spiritual warfare. And Paul shows us tonight the way to handle it. It's not in the flesh. It's by being filled with the Holy Ghost and having God's power on our side. Now, it may not end up that we make a false prophet blind, but that would be pretty cool. But at the same time, God can still do what He wants to do. But you mark it down, my friend, and I want you to listen to this tonight. God is still for His gospel going to the lost. And He is still able to overcome the devil and his crowd in order to do so. For greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. Somebody say amen tonight. Good grief. Now let's be clear on some things here, all right? This doesn't mean we're supposed to get on social media and go pick a fight.
Let me help you with this stuff tonight. This bunch of arguing and baloney and stuff, I'm just telling you, and people go, well, false doctrine needs to be called out. Well, yeah, that means you go to them personally and do it. Not you get on social media and do it, because there you have zero accountability. Have some guts and go to their face. I'm just, you know, I read a meme one time of something about these people on social media today. They're too used to saying stuff without being punched in the mouth for it. It's crazy, man. People are nuts. But let me help you with something. That does nothing for the cause of Christ. That does nothing. In fact, it hurts it. It hurts it. But at the same time, and see, here's the thing. See, Paul didn't start the fight. He just ended it. Amen. But at the same time, and this is what I want you to get tonight, there's a balance here. We're not supposed to go out and do silly stuff in the flesh, but at the same time, we're not to walk around in fear and shame over the gospel of Jesus Christ either, my friend. Listen to me. He's not given us the spirit of fear. Rather, we are to live holy. We are to pray and we are to walk with God. Why do we need to do that? Here's why. Because that's how you're filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And then I'm just telling you, and we're to oppose evil in boldness and confidence of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, right is still right and wrong is still wrong. And God's people just need to simply stand for it with a Christ-like spirit. That's what we're to do. That's what Paul did right here. It's kind of like the testimony we heard. Maybe some of you were not here, but a few months ago we had missionary Sam Thomas that we support. We were able to take him on missionary in India. Now you want to talk about a country that, you know, you're persecuted for the gospel over there. And in fact, in the video that he showed, one of the men in the video was giving his testimony and talked about how his wife got saved. And so because he was of the Hindu faith and very hostile towards Christianity, he was very upset about it. And so he was getting ready, I think, to go out of town. And so he told his brother about it and said, you need to go over there and rough up that preacher. And so his brother went over there to rough up the preacher and his brother got saved. And then the guy got back from his job or whatever, and he went to go talk to the preacher about this thing, and then he ended up getting saved, and he was now a deacon in the church. That's amazing, isn't it? That's the kind of deacons you need. You know, people will just rough them. That's amazing, isn't it? But here, no. But aren't you glad? Listen. Aren't you glad that pastor, that he dealt with spiritual warfare? Being filled with the Holy Ghost, not dealing with it in the flesh, but at the same time not running like a coward either. And just simply standing in the boldness and confidence with a Christ-like spirit. Somebody say amen. And he won that family to Jesus Christ. What a blessing. I'm just telling you, that you understand, that's how ministry is. It's just spiritual battle after spiritual battle after spiritual battle. It's kind of like one preacher said. In fact, I heard Brother Eric repeat this the other day, that Brother Watson used to say this. If the devil's fighting you, then you must be doing something right. Because that's the way ministry works. That's how it goes. But now you got guys who, when it gets difficult, they want to quit and throw in the towel. So I'm going to tell you something tonight. We got to get over this stuff. This is nonsense. I mean, even in the day, and I'm not trying to vent or anything tonight, but I'm just saying to you, we've got COVID and all these other things, and I've seen so many people just quit and give up. And I'm not just talking about preachers. I'm talking about people in the pew. Guys, listen to me. Now, when things get difficult and there's spiritual warfare, that's not time to quit. That is time to be faithful and to demonstrate your faith. Why is that? Well, because look what happens in verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. See,
See, here's the thing. We don't serve a dead God tonight. We don't serve a dead God, my friend. He's still on the throne. He's still got power, and He still moves, and He still works. And Paul, opposing the evil in the power of God, that man seeing that and understanding, hey, his God lives. And believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something tonight. What kind of message are you sending? Hello? Spiritual warfare, that's ministry. That's what's going to happen. What kind of message are you sending? Well, it's just... Stop it. There is no excuse. You don't serve a dead God tonight. We serve a living God. Well, I just... No. Go to Him. Get His power on your life. Hello? Well, let me tell you something else, see? There'll also be spiritual highs and lows. Look at what happens. So we know in verse number 12, the man gets saved. But then in verse 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. There's a lot of speculation as to why John Mark returned back. But really, speculation or reasons, it really doesn't matter because there is no excuse. But as you and I go from one verse in 12 to a man getting saved, to another verse in verse 13, to a man quitting and turning back, if I could say it like this, there will be spiritual warfare, but there will be spiritual highs and lows. That's ministry. It's like seeing a bus kid get saved, but yet another bus kid quit coming. Seeing a teenage boy answer to call to preach, but yet watching another young person get involved in rebellion and sin. A family joining the church, but another quitting. Someone getting saved, but someone else going wayward. I could sit here all night and tell you about the high points of ministry, but then followed by the lows. But here's the thing. The point in all of this is to see this, is to be real about what ministry is. But it's also to see our need to be faithful in it. To not be swayed by the spiritual warfare, but also not to be swayed by the spiritual lows. Because the truth is, though you may not see it, there are two encouraging thoughts here. Certainly one of those is this, Sergius Paulus, he got saved. You know what? That means why you and I tonight are enjoying Kansas City and cold rain. He's in heaven. Well, it's just for all eternity. Don't get too excited about it. But the other thing that I like here is that this will not be the last that we hear of John Mark. You want to talk about a guy that gives us a great example of second chances. Though he quits here, he will eventually come back and serve the Lord. Though he causes a split between Barnabas and Saul, later on, Paul eventually finds him profitable for the ministry, and God uses him in a mighty way. But again, had Barnabas and Paul not been faithful, they would have not have witnessed any of these things. Not to mention the churches that will be started and the people that will be saved as their ministry continues throughout this chapter and into the next one. Folks, the bottom line is this. Yeah, welcome to the ministry. And it's not for the faint of heart. It's difficult. There's battles. There's spiritual warfare. There's highs and lows. But it's worth it. It's worth it to serve Him. It's worth it to be faithful. It's worth it. So what about you tonight? You willing to get involved? Serve the Lord? And can I say this to you? If you do, don't quit. Stay in it. Stay in it. Let's all stand tonight.
What about you tonight? You know, maybe you need to be saved tonight. Well, then come and be saved. We'll show you right other scriptures how to be saved. But I'm telling you tonight, there's no better place to be than serving the Lord. Sure, it has its battles, and sure, there are highs and lows. But my friend, I'm telling you, it's worth being faithful. Don't give up tonight. Don't